Welcome to the Cognac Expert Calendar Podcast, hosted by Taylor.
So today I am very happy to be speaking with Pierre Alain from Cognac Martineau. How are you today, Pierre Alain?
Very fine. Nice to speaking with you and all of you.
Great. Very happy to be chatting with you. So can you tell us who you are and what you do at Cognac Martineau?
So I'm the eighth generation from Martineau and brother and son. And I'm a wine grower, and also I'm distilling or the cognac that you can drink after that. And we do everything from A to Z. I mean, from the vineyard to the bottle, okay? And we're trying to be the best about the how to make, and to be also every time in progress with all the different kind of how to make. And that's it.
Very good. So I'm going to have plenty of questions for the house and for your role at the domain, but can you tell us what cognac we are tasting today?
So today you're going to try the cognac XO Suprême, all right? So this is one of the oldest cognac we have in our family. This is from my great-great father, and this is for me, if I have to be very objective, the best of all the cognac we have. Okay, it's the best, not my favorite, but it's the best. But it is for sure the best cognac we have in our cognacs.
And so let's get back to the vineyard. Where exactly is Cognac Martineau located in the region?
So the district of Charente is in the southwest. We are located between Bordeaux and Angoulême, okay? It's very in the middle of it. And it is like 40 minutes from Bordeaux and 40 minutes from Angoulême, and about 1 hour to the coast, the Atlantic coast, all right?
And in terms of the crew of cognac, is this Bonbois or Fambois?
So the vineyard, the distillery is located in Bonbois. But I'm split in four different crus because I have Bonbois, Fambois, Petit Champagne, and Grand Champagne. So Chantillac, the heart of our vineyard, is in Bonbois. After that, I have a vineyard in Montchaude, which is a Petit Champagne, and Reignac, which is in Fambois. And the other part, the third part, it's about in Barré, La Garde-sur-le-Nez, Petit Champagne. And Créteil-la-Madeleine.
How many hectares do you have total?
37.
Okay. And are all 37 of those hectares uniquely for Cognac Martineau, or do you also sell to some of the bigger houses?
I sell for the bigger houses because I'm vineyard de cru. That means that I'm producing my own cognac with my own vineyard. And I'm also vineyard de profession. That means that I'm distilling for people. They don't have a distillery, so this is a kind of service, all right? And I have like 80% of sales to the negotiants, the NSE, Martel, Rémy Martin, and so on. And I keep 10% for my, when I'll be retired. And another 10%, the best quality I have for you, I mean, for the clients. That's my Pinot, liqueurs, and cognac, the Suprême, that I'm stocking and keeping in barrels for my particular clients.
Okay, great. And so you're in four different crus. Can you explain some of the different terroirs that you work with?
Yeah. So usually I keep the Bonbois for the VSOP cognac, because Bonbois, it's a terroir that you can aging it faster, all right? But the problem is, if it's a problem, that after 30 years, you don't get these best aromas you can have like in Petit Champagne. So my VSOP is Bonbois. My Napoléon is a Fambois because it's a 30 years old aging in barrels cognac. and my cognac Heritage and Supreme that we are speaking about. It's petite champagne and grand champagne because the terroir is more full of chalk, okay? And the chalk is giving some mineral things about the aromas. You don't feel it, but it gives you some fine aromas. And the cognac starts to be good after 30 years aging in barrels, all right? So you have Bonbois good until 30 years, and petite champagne, I mean champagne, start to be good after 30 years, okay? That's how I split the different quality with my different terroir, right? Why we call petite champagne, and grand champagne?
Why is that? Because because of the aging about the aging potential?
No, because it's the same that champagne. You know the sparkling wine, champagne. They call it champagne because the terroir is full of chalk, and in Latin version, champagne means chalk.
Yep.
Okay, and in Charente, we call petite or grand champagne because of the amount of the proportion of chalk in the soil. So if you are petite champagne, it's at least 70% of chalk in the soil, and grand champagne is at least 80% in the soil.
Okay.
So champagne means in Latin version, chalk.
Yeah, okay, great. And since you have vines in these different cru, and I suppose different climates or different microclimates, do you work each plot of land in the same way, or do you have to adapt it a little bit to the terroir and to the microclimate?
Yeah, I have to adapt because, for example, in La Garde-Solonay, which is in Petite Champagne, is close to the river, so I can go to get every year the vineyard. At the beginning, I try to do it at the end of the, like in March, okay? Because, or else in May, you are at the risk to get frozen, okay? So this is one of the solution. After that, I have like all the terroir, they are full of chalk for me, so it's easier. But I'm trying to cultivate one row,
one row out of two.
Out of two, all right. Because like that, you can get all the rain of during spring and summer, okay? As soon as you have a little bit, you get it for the vineyard, not for the grass. And I keep one row in grass because of the... If there is a lot of rain, like the last millennium, you can go with the tractor because it's getting like stability. And what I do in Petite Champagne in La Garde-Solonay, my vineyard is
established.
Yeah, established at 1.3 meters because also for the frozen, okay? And here in Bonbois and Petite Champagne in Montchaude is established like traditional one vineyard. It's 75 centimeters. Higher you will be and you are not exposed to the froze like directly, okay?
Wow, so there are big differences between where you're growing your vines and how you have to treat those vines.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And in some of the recent years where there has been hail or frost, have you been impacted or did you manage to escape those episodes?
So no, since 10 years, every year I have all hail, or frost, I'm getting frost, but this millet 2023, nothing, so it was good. I have a solution, it's a new one, we are probably 16 in France trying to this solution. It's a system with the tractor. I'm going to the vineyard during in April, May, when the risk of get frost. It's a big fireplace, kind of. With wheels and put some wood on it, all right? And I burning it, and thanks to a big fan, I'm going through all the vineyard and I'm trying to warming up the soil during 8-9 hours nonstop. So it's difficult, but at least I managed to save the vineyard twice in 5 years.
Wow.
So it's good.
Okay.
And it's ecologic because you use only wood and la paille.
Yeah, straw. Straw. And,
yeah.
Okay. And that, so that has been successful for you to fight frost. Okay, great. Good to know. Okay. And are there areas or crew where your vines are located that are more susceptible to frost? Like, does your Bon Bois frost easier than your Grand Champagne, for example?
No. The Petit Champagne, I told you, in La Garcelonnée, they got easier to get frost because of the proximity of the river. Okay.
Okay. Understood. And then just more generally speaking, how have you noticed the impact of climate change in your production and just the region in general?
So the problem we have, like the others, that the temperature are getting warmer every year. So usually we have problems in August. Like this year, we had 2 days more than 42 degrees. So in 2 days, for the youngest vineyard, it's a problem because they're getting dry, and even the grapes, they burn, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we do, that we try to get as much as possible leaves. And like this, thanks to these leaves, you are making shadows for the grapes. So this is a first protection. And since 5 years, I'm using a new product from Brittany. It's called Baikal. It's kind of, I don't know what you call it, argile.
Yeah, so it's clay. It's a clay product.
It's a clay, like silice as well. And we put in the pulverizer.
In the sprayer.
With sprayer and water. And we spray the vineyard with this. That's giving two results thanks to this. First, you are making like a protection for UV.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And also, so you can get like 6 degrees more than the other vineyard not protecting with that. And also that the leaves start to be a bit more thicker. So even the insect, they not go on these leaves because they can't take it, you know?
Okay. Wow. So this is fascinating. So between your first innovation where you go in between the rows with the fire to protect against frost, that's one thing. And now this clay silice-based product that seems to really protect vines.
Very useful. And all my neighbors, they use it now.
Yeah, they see your vines full of life and they want to do the same thing.
So yes, the temperature is getting warm, but we are trying to do what we can do. But we can't move the vineyard from here to another place because the appellation is stick to the district. So we have to try to adapt. And today I have a project. It's a new one. Nobody have this for now. It's a solar panel, like a pergola, okay? That you can put under... au-dessus, under, and you have also a filet, it's like a filet de pêche.
Ah, a net.
Okay. A net, yeah. So you can, and the thing is, they try to do it the first time in the south of France, and they lost about 1% alcohol for the wine. Okay? So for them, it's good, because they have like wine up to 15% today. So if they can go down to 13, it's even better for them. So I think it's a good option. So I'm trying. This is a project for now, but I'm in.
Excellent. Wow, there's a lot of things to do in the vineyard, it sounds like. Now, if we move to the distillery side of things, what size are your alambic and how many alambic do you have?
So I have three. I have three alambic, one of 20 hectoliters, so it's 2,000 liters, and another two of 25 hectoliters, so 2,500 liters. This is an old, very old distillery for one of them because it's from my great father from 1960. The second one is from 1973. And the last one is from my father from 1991. But they are all working like the first one because this is in the cahier des charges. So it's a kind of rules for this series. So they're all, I'm using gas to boil the wine and water to condensate the vapors.
Okay, great. And for your production, how long does distillation last?
Okay, so if I'm producing only my own cognac, in about 1 month, it's finished, okay? But because I'm bouilleur de profession, as I told you, I'm distilling about between 5 and 6 months every year.
Okay.
All right?
Yep, understood. And so for your distillation, not for the négoce, but for your cognac Martino, do you distill with the lees or without the lees?
With the lees. And I'm using the biscuit how to made because I like this kind of distillation that gives some, we say, bonbon anglais, English sweet aromas. And do you know Harlequin?
Yes, the hard candy that we get at restaurants sometimes.
Yeah. And this is this kind of aromas. And they give also some rose leaves aromas, okay?
Okay. And can you explain what is this biscuit method of distillation?
Okay, so for the temperature, there is a bit standard. You cool down the vapors to 21 degrees, okay? But it's at the end of the heart of cognac, okay? We try to make some pressure of gas at the end. Like that, all the finest vapors, they're able to go up to the short neck. Okay? And like this, you can get and collect all these special aromas that I told you. And that's what I like. It's a bit more difficult, but for the distillation, it's very interesting. Because when you are trying to cut the heart of the cognac of the day, you have to be like very, very focused with your glass and your nose. And it's very like cuisine gastronomique.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, for the Exo Supreme, can you say how much time it's spent in new oak barrels?
In new oak barrels, I think something like 35, 40 years. But after that, we put this cognac in old barrels because every year in new barrels, you have the angel's share. It's about 2 and 6% evaporation and between 0.5 and 1% alcohol, less every year. Mm-hmm. And if the cognac is going down to 38%, you are getting like the old wine, this kind of dust aromas, okay? Yeah. We call it in French, le goût de réduit. So the goal is to go down to 40%, I mean, as close as possible to 40%. And as soon as you are in this kind of percentage, you try to keep the cognac in the best situation like that. So you have two options. Or you put the cognac in old barrels like that, you have less angel share. Or you put it in big bottles. We call it Damjan. And that concentrates what we call in Charente, le paradis. Okay? So this cognac is still in barrels, in old barrels. And because like that, it's still getting new aromas and getting down to very close to 40% without water. Because the problem is when you add some distillated water in cognac, you cut a bit the strongest and finest aromas. All right?
Of course. Okay.
So this kind of cognac, they never take a sip of water. So it's full power without strong alcohol in the back.
So, and did I hear correctly, you said 30 years in a new oak barrel or 3 years?
30.
Okay.
I mean, the first, and they spent like the first 4 years in these new barrels, but we leave it for another 20 years in the same barrels. Okay. Mm. And after that, we move to very old barrels.
And so if the cognac is down near 40 degrees alcohol and it's still in barrel,
yeah,
do you have to be careful that it doesn't go below 40? Or
yeah.
What can you do?
So every year we have the inventory.
The inventory, okay.
Okay. And that's the day that we are trying all the cognacs. I mean, we just have some in the glass and smell it. And we have to also control the degree, the percentage alcohol, all right? And also this cognac, we don't bottle it like 10,000 bottles, but we don't have 10,000 bottles, so it's easier. But we do like 100 bottles, we bottle it, and if we, as soon as we sold it, we do another 100 bottles. So like every 2 months, we check we control the quality of the cognac. Yeah. So it's like a baby. We have to go every day to see.
And can you say how old this cognac is?
So this cognac is from my great traveler. It's a blend of 1955, 1956, and 1957. So it's very, very old. And it's still in barrels. So it's a truly more than 60 years old cognac, all right? Because as soon as you bottle it, you stop aging it, all right? So it's a very true 60 years cognac aging in barrels.
Fantastic, okay. And it's been reduced completely naturally just yep. with time and evaporation.
Yes, that's true. That's what gave some very special notes. I mean, because in Charente, we have a specificity about the barrels, because we burn inside of it. And that gives some toasting bread notes and you know, crème brûlée.
Mm-hmm.
When you burn the cassonade, the sugar on it, you're getting this kind of aromas. But if you want to get this super aromas, you have to wait at least 30 years. Nobody is able to make us fake, all right? So you have to wait 30 years. So this is a 60 years cognac. So you have like 200% this kind of, yes, toasting bread nuts, like la brioche, all right? And also like abricot confit. That's very, very nice. I like it.
Fantastic. Okay, so this Exo Suprême is very, very old cognac from Grand Champagne, correct?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. And how does it compare to your other really old cognac, the Héritage?
Okay. So, as I told you, my favorite is the Héritage. But to be objective, the Suprême is better. Why? Because the Cognac XO Héritage is from 1962 and 1963. So it's this year, a 60 years cognac. Still in barrels also. And I like this cognac because I like old rum. And this cognac, he has something special, certainly because of the barrels, I think. It's like natural sugar on it and kind of caramelized like rum, okay? So I like this because it's very gourmand. So it's very, very, very like old rum. But the XO Suprême is better because the aromas is very finest, longer. And we say that it's a little bit feminine because it's very elegant. But the best way to know is you have to buy one of each and like that's you can compare because I'm objective because, okay, Suprême is good. It's the best, but Héritage is my favorite because that's my tasty.
Of course, of course. And it cut a second ago. Did you say that Héritage is from Fambois or Petit Champagne?
Petit Champagne.
Petit Champagne, okay.
Yeah. It's now, the Suprême is not very older than the Héritage because 57 and 63, okay, you can notice that it's not a long time different between them. It's very because of the terroir and the way how to aging in barrels. That's it.
Yeah.
That's why all cognac are very good if you know who made it and how they made it, okay?
Of course. Of course. Just another question came to mind about the barrels. Where do you typically source your barrels from, and what kind of chauff do you use?
So usually, should I speak about brand as well?
I think, yeah, brand and also the provenance in terms of, is it Limousin, Troncet?
I'm using only, I mean, this isn't the rules for the cognac. You are just allowed to get barrels with oak from France, okay? Made with the cognac version. I mean, you have to burn inside the barrels, okay? And the barrels can have, if you buy vintage barrel, and you can also use barrels, also barrels that they age only cognacs before, okay? So the one I use, if it's brand new, usually I use Radou barrels, is from Jonzac, and they source oak from Troncet, Forêt Troncet, and I use middle and small grain, okay, and chauffe moyenne plus, okay?
Okay, excellent.
It's 400 liters barrels, usually. And I'm trying to age my new cognac during 5 years in new barrels. And after that, I split them to 10 or 15 years barrels.
Okay, sounds good. And in terms of the conditions in the cellar, do you have a humid cellar, a dry cellar, or something in between?
It's dry cellar.
Okay, yeah. Great.
Because I'm in the top of colline.
A hill.
And it's about here, I'm about 200 meters altitude. So what I do, I'm not putting some concrete on the soil. I leave the natural soil, okay? Like this, I can keep as much as possible humidity. Mm-hmm. And during the night or during very early in the morning, I'm opening the doors to get all the fresh air and as much as possible. And now I'm trying to do some new isolation on the roof.
Okay, great. And so now if we move to a tasting note for this XO Supreme, how would you describe the nose and the palate and the texture of this cognac?
Okay, so because of the Grand Champagne, that gives some very elegant aromas. I mean, it's like a hug in the mouth, okay? But it's a strong one, a strong hug, okay? And so first of all, you have like a full power of toasting bread nuts, okay? Something like a torrefied coffee, but also some apricot or pear confit, okay? So this is the first mouth and nose can have. And secondly, you will have a back of brioche toasté, okay? So toasting bread nuts. It's very elegant. You don't have like strong alcohol in back. You have like, it's like honey stuff, you know, honey flavors on the back mixed with French brioche, you know?
Yeah. I remember. I've tasted it multiple times. Okay, excellent. Now, my last question, and this is a curious one. These barrels for the XO Supreme and for the Héritage, they're not going to last forever. Do you have other really old lots of cognac ready to take the place of the XO Supreme and the Héritage when these ones end?
Yes, actually, last week, I mean, two weeks now, I tried with my father cognac from my great father from 1973 and 4, and this is exactly on the same way than the Heritage. It's unbelievable. It's nearly like better than the Heritage today. It's not ready, but we know that in about 5 years, this cognac will be super, very nice one. So I have this one, and also I have another Grand Champagne from 1960, between 60 and 80. It's a big, big blend. And this one is more like the Supreme, but it's still a bit strong.
Okay.
So we have to leave it for another 10 years. I think it will be okay. You have to be patient.
We'll be patient. We'll be patient, but I'm excited to know that there are new additions. There will be a continuation of the Exo Supreme and the Héritage in the future. So, well, Pierre-Alain, thank you very much for your time, for your thoughtful responses. I love all of the Martino cognacs. The Héritage is fantastic. The Exo Supreme is like everything an old Grand Champagne cognac can be and should be. So again, thank you very much for your time. Happy holidays, and I hope to see you soon.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Au revoir.
Thank you for listening to the Cognac Expert Calendar podcast. Tomorrow is another day, another cognac.